watch God do all kinds of healings and breakthroughs in the service on next Sunday, all three services. It's going to be wonderful, I promise you. And we're excited that Evangelist Tim is going to be with us. Tonight, we're having a miracle service. I can't wait to be here. We're just going to let the Holy Spirit pour out. We had a breakout of miracles this past Wednesday here with incurable conditions. Unbelievable things started happening. So come tonight if you are not doing something with your mom. If you're with your mom, don't leave her for me. Do the right thing there, okay? If you have your, I want to say today we have our last Sunday with Millard and Shirley, who have been in our church, Gilbert, for many, many years. Millard and Shirley, would you stand up? He's been on staff as our all everything. They're moving to Bakersfield and to be closer to their kids and their family. We love them so much and hate to see him go. We took Millard out of retirement. He's a retired fireman, a captain in a fire as a fireman, and employed him here for the church for many years, a blessing. He can fix anything. And my wife especially loves him because her husband can't fix nothing. Uh-oh.
I still love you, but I nicknamed Millard MacGyver. Remember the show MacGyver? Because literally, he can figure out how anything works and how to fix anything in this world. We love you so, so much. We're going to miss you so much.
Thank you, honey. Do you have your notes today for a few moments? Let's have some fun. Is that okay? The second chapter of John. My sermon title today is Gusto. Gusto. Verse 1 of chapter 2, John, on the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee. I'll try not to get too prophetic or too mystical, but we're in the third millennia after Christ. We are the third day generation. And so the first miracle of Christ was at a wedding. It is also a portrait of the wedding we can look forward to as the bride of Christ and the coming of Christ and all of these things. There's much significance in what happens here. And the mother of Jesus was there. So Christ is at a wedding. He's there with his mother. She's probably trying to set him up. She's got a 30-year-old son. And she didn't know really the full impact of his life, the shortness, the brevity of it. Of course, Christ did. He didn't come to have a family. He came to save your family. Now, both Jesus and the disciples were invited to the wedding. And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, "Son, they have no wine." Jesus said to her, "Woman," it's not a derogatory term, it was actually a respectful term. "Woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." It's a couple of points. So Christ is at the wedding. Probably not by his own choice. He's there. He's there with his fellows, and they ran out of wine. Now, a wedding in the Middle East, a wedding in this time, still it's a practice in much of the world. They would celebrate for a full week. So people would come in from all over the world or all over the region, and they would have a multiple-day celebration. Most likely, in the middle of that multiple-day celebration, they either had too many people come or didn't prepare enough, and they ran out of wine. So hospitality is a big, huge issue in the Middle East, and to lose face is still a very shameful thing. And so Mary's concerned about her friends, and she said to Jesus, "Son, do something about this. Don't just stand there. Help us, you know. Do something." He says to her, "It doesn't feel like it's the right time." I just want to encourage you. It hardly ever feels like the right time when it's the right time. When God says it's time, it's time. All four of our children came when they wanted to, or when their term, when God decided it. I remember when Melody was born, we lived in a second-story apartment in Tempe, and we had a water bed when they used to be cool. Google it. And so she, it's like 1 o'clock in the morning. She's, and I'm a sound sleeper. She says, wake up. She said, it's time. I jump out of bed. I got out of bed so fast, I almost bounced her out of the waterbed. And got up. She had already packed. She was so prepared. Our suitcases were packed. All I had to do was put on shoes and pants, and here's the car keys. And we because it was time. Someone say it's time. So I'm here today to help you with a couple of things. It's your time. It's your time. Often, in my experience with Mary, this Thursday, we will celebrate our 37th wedding anniversary. We will celebrate it with our son and daughter-in-law in New York City. We're going there for a couple of days, then speaking at a church and a conference in a church on the Rock, a yearly board meeting. All those things are happening this week. But we're celebrating our 37th anniversary. I found this out, that my wife is good with timing. So in our relationship, because I'm spontaneous, I'm prophetic. I like prophetic better than spontaneous or disorganized. So I'll say, you know, God just spoke to me, honey. We're supposed to do this, and we're going to do it now. We're going to do it tomorrow morning. Go ahead and call the whole staff. And she says, you know what? They might all quit if you tell them they're going to do it tomorrow. Let's pray about the timing, because the timing is as significant as the event. And women have a biological time mechanism. They have timing built into their very existence. So oftentimes women are better with timing. And the really cool thing about this, she helped him enter into his season by recognizing a time that had come disguised as a problem. Instead of it being a problem, you know what it was? It was an opportunity for him to shine. It was his time. It was his breakthrough moment. It was his season for a miraculous outcome. Okay, read on with me. So that's where we are. They've ran out of wine. Everybody say, ran out. Now, get this. Out there, the world without Christ is a place that always runs out. They run out of everything. They run out of love. They run out of life. They run out of wine. Wine speaks of life. It speaks of a fullness of life. It speaks of the Holy Spirit. It speaks of abundant life. The world is a place of chronic famine. And so in the world, there's always going to be these seasons of lack. But in God's economy, in God's kingdom, and in the Father's house, there's never lack. You with me? You belong to a kingdom, and you belong to a household that is never under the burden of lack. The Last Day Church is going to get this. We're going to get it. We're going to connect to God. And God's going to help us tear down the walls that have told us we can't do things because of resource limitations or lack of money or lack of whatever it is. God's going to open our eyes and release us to flow in kingdom resources and kingdom abundance. So Mary ignores the resistance or reluctance, really, of Christ in verse 5. She says to the servants now, whatever my son says to you, verse 5, do that. Whatever he says, do it. Every miracle that happens on the earth is preceded by someone's outrageous act of faith. Bold actions of faith always precede miraculous encounters with God. You with me? For example, it's really cool, you know, in the Bible when they raise the dead, but it takes some guts in 2016 to pray for a dead person. You with me? You're out there a little bit. I'm going to pray for him. Or pray for someone who has an incurable condition. I prayed for a woman with an incurable condition in Australia, and had a word of knowledge about five people being healed of incurable cancers, death sentences. She came forward on Friday night. We prayed for her, and she went back to the doctor on Saturday morning for a scheduled appointment, and the doctor stood there dumbfounded. He said, every tumor in your brain is gone. A brain racked with lesions and tumors, everyone gone. Your blood counts have normalized. Someone say miracle. Well, whatever he says to you, do it. So I felt this thing to begin the service there. Instead of preaching, I began it by praying for those incurable cases. And man, oh man, is it having an impact. God does miracles when someone obeys the direction of the Holy Spirit. Whatever Jesus says to you, do it. Amen. There'll be a consequence at the end of that obedience that will be incredible. Okay, so she says to the servants, whatever he says to you, do it. Now, John gives us a broader narrative of what's happening in the circumstance of verse 6. Now, there were set there 6 water pots of stone, according to the manner of purification of the Jews, containing 20 or 30 gallons apiece. So here there's 6 stone water pots between 20 or 30 gallons apiece. They're all empty. Someone say empty. So they're empty because of a Jewish tradition, rabbinic teaching of setting aside of everything. Everything gets a rest period in the Jewish culture, in the Jewish tradition. So from fields to, so they're set aside for purification. And here's the great thing. If you want God to use you, you got to empty yourself of everything that's stopping him from doing that. God uses prepared vessels. In fact, God never does not use a prepared vessel. And so to be a prepared vessel means first I got to empty out. Someone say empty out. Well, what do you mean, Pastor? I got to empty out everything. I got to empty out my unforgiveness toward others, my bitterness, my hostility, my anger, my resentment. I got to empty out my doubt and fear and unbelief. If you don't think you have unbelief, you have unbelief about your unbelief. You got to empty it out. I just ask the Lord, Lord, is there anything in me that's stopping you from filling me? Amen? The secret to having more of God is giving God more of you. And you give God more of you by vacating places in your life. This Thursday, our 37th anniversary. So in 37 years living with this woman, we have a couple of things that have developed. One of them is my wife doesn't keep cluttered anything. So I have things that are, I would classify as semi-important. In the garage, I'll put them there and I'll think, well, I put that thing 5 years ago on that shelf. I'll go look for it. If it's been in the garage more than 6 months, it's out. It's either at the secondhand store or it's in the garbage. She doesn't like clutter. She gets rid of it. Now, it's a good thing. It keeps us, our house from being, junky. The bad thing is all my semi-important stuff is gone. That was semi-important to me, honey. And so God says to us, there's stuff that you think that is important that's not. Stop holding on to it. One of the secrets that Christ gave in John 15 was this. He said, the secret to abundant living, the secret to fruitful, productive living is to embrace the season of pruning. God doesn't prune you to punish you. He prunes you to promote you. And pruning comes. So the season of subtraction, when stuff starts leaving your life, is a season just before multiplication. When stuff starts leaving, don't get upset because heaven's going to start sending stuff. Okay? It's really, really true. So these 6 water pots set aside for purification, but they're empty, but they're ready. Come on. Often people underestimate the value of a season because they feel like it's emptying them out. But when you start emptying out, God starts getting happy. I'm going to fill him. I'm going to pour into her. I'm going to replenish them more than they've ever had before with better stuff, okay? So here they are, empty vessels. Jesus said to the servants now, he's clicking with his mom, okay? He's in the flow. Fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. Every encounter you have with Jesus is a filling encounter. He will fill you with his love. He will fill you with his joy. He will fill you with his peace. He will fill you with the knowledge of his word. He will fill you with his Holy Spirit. He will fill you with the power of his kingdom. Every encounter you have with Jesus, he's filling your pot, okay? He's filling your spirit. He's filling your life so you can pour out on others and you can make a difference in the world by your witness and example. Okay? So Jesus said, fill them up. And they filled them to the very brim. Then Jesus said to the servants, draw some out now and take it to the master of the feast. And they took it. The amazing thing about this story is the reckless faith of these servants who know that they're doing a thing that could have negative consequences to them if there's not a miracle between on that aisleway up to the table of honor as they take water. That some point in that journey, God turned to wine. Amen? Now, here's what God says. Lay your hands on the sick. I know it just seems like a human act, but if you lay your hands on the sick, I'll make some wine. Pray for people. I know they just sound like words to you, but your words, I'll anoint them, and the outcome will be wine. Life, spirit life. God says, take my word and fill your soul with it. Someone said to me the other day, Pastor, I want to prophesy like you. You can prophesy like me. Devour God's word. The alphabet of the prophetic vocabulary is the word of God in you. Word in, prophecy out. Word in, prophecy out. Put it into you and God will put it out of you. Pull it out of you. Jesus said, take some to the master. Like I said before, it takes bold actions of faith to generate a miracle. There's always someone's reckless obedience responsible for a heavenly outcome. Okay, so Jesus said, take it to the master, take it to Mr. Big Shot. So here we have this wedding at the table of honor. There's an important dignitary, most likely a politician, a political leader, could be a financial person, but a person of influence, of esteem, of consequence. And this is a great principle. Jesus said, I'm going to begin at the head. I'm going to touch that person. Remember what Paul said, pray for everybody in authority. Pray for everybody, but start by praying for all those in authority. There's a principle of the kingdom about targeting spiritually people in high places, bringing the kingdom of God to them because of their influence then can affect so many lives. God called Paul to the Gentiles and kings. Very interesting concept in the kingdom. Okay, so they did. They filled it. They've drawn out some of the water. They're taking it up the aisle to the head of the person of honor. Verse 9, when the master of the feast had tasted the water that was made to wine. Wow. He didn't know where it came from, but the servants who had drawn out the water knew. The master of the feast called the bridegroom. He said to him, every man at the beginning sets out the good wine when the guests have well drunk, and then the inferior wine. But you have kept the good wine until now. There's a couple points. The best is yet to come. God always saves the best for last. Yesterday I had the honor of conducting a ministering at a funeral for Federico Castillo. Excuse me, Spanish people, for massacring both those names. Federico was 92 and had been in our church here, I think, for 10 years with his daughter, Sonia, and his son-in-law, Eric Sonia, and Eric Skinner, his granddaughter, Tamara, members of our church since our beginning. They actually are translating right now in that booth over there. Every service, they translate this into Spanish. And they have for 13 straight years. What a blessing and gift they are. Thank you, guys. You guys are awesome. And so Federico was a businessman. He was an executive, Mexican Airlines. And when he was 66 years old, he came to Christ. And the family had been through difficulties and you know, breaks up and all kinds of things. When he came to Christ, God turned him into a different man. And God allowed him to be reintroduced to his family in a close way, to love his grandchildren. His last years were his greatest years. He's close to all three of his kids and all six of his grandkids. God did a miracle. See, with God, it gets better and better, not worse and worse. And if you let God, he'll turn your water into wine. He'll make your days sweet. He'll make your life sweet. He'll make your heart sweet. And Federico became a loving example of a transformed life, a man given to God, and what a healing difference it made in all of his family. You with me? God can turn anybody's water to wine, and God can turn anybody's heart into a tender place where the kingdom of God can exhibit the love of Christ to a hurting world. Okay? So they did that, and so he said this, man, this is not normal. Normally, they serve the expensive wine at the beginning of a feast, and then later on that day or that week, the inferior wine. But you've saved the best for last. Now, let me remind you, as a generation, we have a promise that the greatest move of God happens in the last move of God. The last thing God does will be the best thing God does. If we are the last, we get the best. Come on, that's true. You've got to change your theology from doom and gloom to breakthrough, to blessing, to world revival, to glory. You've got to change it so that you don't miss out on what God's trying to do with you, for you, through you, for a hurting world. So he said this. So when he tasted, everybody say tasted. So I put it in your notes. It's the Greek word geomia. And geomia means gusto. It is, the transliteration to English is gusto. It means to feed, to taste, to experience, to partake of. It means to experience. It means to experience. See, the kingdom of God isn't just a doctrine. It is an encounter. It is an experience with God. Religion equals theology. The kingdom of God equals theology plus experience. Experiencing God's word in a personal, dynamic way. And God wants us to experience him. And so he said gusto. Someone say gusto. The English word gusto means enjoyment and enthusiasm in doing something. Relish, appetite, enjoyment, delight, glee, enthusiasm, appreciation, zeal, zest. So here's what happened. The guest of honor started making a scene. He said, man, this is good. So, see, don't get mad at us that we can't contain our emotions about Jesus. But some of us have been so dramatically affected and have had such real encounters with him, we have some gusto about it. We have some excitement. We are enthusiastic. Someone shout gusto. Yeah. Well, Pastor, I'm just not emotional. Stop lying. Mary and I had a chance to go to the Cardinals game for the first time this past year. And we got to go to the Minnesota game. We brought Miles John, our grandson. And we were excited. It was a close game. The Cardinals won like the last play. And so we're there. And I just the funnest thing I had was just watching people. Watching the doctor and the lawyer. People screaming till they're hoarse. You know what? People doing things the next day they're embarrassed about. Now, we sat in the non-alcohol section, which was nice. But there was lots of interesting stuff happening with people that in any other setting are like really nice, dignified people. But when you discover their passion, they unveil this emotion. And yet, so somehow we've convinced people that the church is the place where we hold down, we compress our emotions. But the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. You with me? I can't help but be grateful. I can't help. I don't dance because the Bible says dance. Okay, folks, we're going to have a dance lesson. Lift up the right foot, put it down. Lift up the left foot, put it down. The Bible says dance. You got to dance. I don't dance because I barely dance anyway. I tried. I'm a white guy. Do some of this. I don't dance because of a compulsion by the dogma of Scripture. I dance because my heart's so happy. Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Gusto. When I think about the Lord and what he's done for me, when I think about his love, when I think about how he set me free, when I think about how he forgave my sin, healed my body, blessed my family, when I think about all he's done, I can't help but have some gusto in my praise and gusto in my walk with God. I'm enthusiastic about God because I've tasted and seen that he is good. David said, I double dog dare you, taste and see. Experience him. Jesus said this. He said, go create heavenly encounters with people. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the leper, then preach to them the kingdom. What we do is we preach and send people home. We give an inferior quality of Christianity, an incomplete Christian expression. So it's okay to experience God. God wants you to have life-changing encounters with Him. He wants you to feel alive on the inside. Come on, some of you feel like you have a life sentence of misery. Well, I used to be happy before I was saved. Now I'm just saved. Yeah, following Jesus. Don't drink or chew or run around with them that do. Saved, all saved. Go to. What happened to your gusto? Your brain has this. Neurosciences are exploding in their understanding of how your brain, the complexity of your brain is. But your brain has a reward system, and it releases a chemical called dopamine. And I know it sounds like dope, but dopamine is when your brain says, when you have a good meal because you're supposed to eat or else you die, your brain will send, you feel good emotionally. We call it comfort food, but really you feel emotionally better after a meal because your brain's telling you, you should do that to live. It happens during sex. It happens during other things you're made to do as a person. So I believe God releases dopamine in worship. Oh, I just feel so good. Ah, man. My brain starts recircuiting. My emotions start reconnecting. That something comes alive in me because of who God is, encountering God. He said, I tasted this wine, and man, it's good. Man, we should be screaming to a dying world, you don't have to go without life. You don't have to go without joy or peace or love. You don't have to live in misery and bondage and depression. Jesus has wine for you. He has gusto for you. Come on, someone shout gusto. This, the last thing is, verse 11, this beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory. Wow, what a sentence. And his disciples believed on him. The word sign is Simeon. It means a miracle. It means it's a mark, a wonder, an unusual occurrence transcending the common course of nature. So, now please get this. When people experience the supernatural, it awakens something in them that no other experience in life can give them. I like movies. I like science. I was there the first day for Star Wars, you know, because that's a movie that goes back, way back with us. Star Wars, well, cool. It's making a... But it gives me a good feeling, but it doesn't give me the experience of being there. A miracle gives you a taste of heaven on earth. And we owe Phoenix, Arizona, the right for them to have a miraculous encounter with God. We owe this generation signs. We do. We do. How can they find God without directions? Without being guided there, without being shown the way. So God, thank you for filling us. Come on, just thank him with me. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for filling me. Fill me with your love, your life, your joy, your power, your kingdom, your spirit. Fill me, God, to the brim. I want to be filled with so much love. You turn it to wine. You turn it to life for others. Fill me with your joy. There's nothing like encountering a happy person. Your joy can change someone's life. Your peace, your kindness, praying for the sick, believing God for miracles, trusting God, and stepping out in bold actions of faith. God, thank you for filling us. Come on, just thank him. Thank you for the overflow. God, thank you for life, abundant life. You came to give us life. Life more abundantly. That's what we want. We want to be dispensers of that kind of life. to a hurting world. We want to make a difference, God, in those around us. We want to see your power displayed for this generation. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Whatever he says to you, do it. When you feel the prompting of the Lord, just reach out to that person. It doesn't matter if it's at Walmart or work, or reach out to them. Watch what God will do. He'll take a natural action, bring about a supernatural consequence because you've acted in faith. He'll turn your water to wine. Fill your heart with God's word. Devour. Every week we put these sermons, all of our messages on podcasts, on our website for free. Whatever. Feed your faith. Feed yourself the water of the word. Listen to worship music. Spend time with God. Pray every day. Keep filling yourself to the brim. And watch what God does as he draws out of you. God never wastes a prepared vessel. He'll always use it. One of the things I feel that to do this service is I just want to pray a special prayer in closing here for all the single mothers that are here. If you're a single mom, would you stand up and I feel something special in God's heart for you. We're honored that you're here and a part of our church. We just pray God's blessing for all of you. God bless all these beautiful women. God, thank you for your massive love for them. Thank you for your care, your support, your grace, your provision. The Bible says, ladies, that when disappointments come and relationships break and there's failure, the Bible says, God says, I step in. God says, I'm the father of the fatherless. I'm the husband of the widow or the single mother. I'm the husband. God has a special affection, a special closeness to people that are in difficult places in life. And I pray that you'd feel that today. May God kiss your heart. May you feel. In fact, if you wouldn't mind, so I can look at you in the eyeballs and just pray another prayer every week, would you come forward, single moms, and just come down here? Because I want to just take a moment in blessing you. Beautiful. Awesome, awesome. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I pray for, stretch your love toward this wonderful group of people. Lord, I pray for these mothers, especially for them that are that have kids at home, raising these children. But God, you're helping them. You're with them. There's a special place in the heart of God for mothers. There's a special closeness in the heart of God for mothers who are on their own. But you're with God. God is with you. He's helping you. He's strengthening you. He's going to help. I just declare every need you'll ever have as a family, God's going to help you meet. God's going to help you with your children, with their medical bills, their school supplies, the stuff they want to do in sports, their growing years, their clothes, their everything. God, thank you, God, for just supernatural resourcing for every mom and the children she's raising today. Thank you, God, for that lavish affection for these women. So, ladies, I felt led to do this. I wasn't going to do this, but I felt the Lord said to do it. In just a moment, people from our church are going to come up and give each one of you $100 by check or cash. And we just want to show you today, it's just a token. I wish it was $10,000. But today we're going to give the devil a black eye, and we're telling him, you're somebody to God. You're important to God. You're important to your family. We honor you. We bless you. So congregation, that means you. We had these beautiful women come forward being vulnerable, being honest today, not knowing what would happen, most of them. And so Mary and I are going to be the first one. Find someone. If God speaks to your heart, would you come and find a woman up here and hand her a check for the money and say, I'm standing with you. I want to bless you in Jesus' name. And then stay with them for a minute because I want you to pray over them. I'm not just kind of race out of here. So as God speaks to you, to one or more, come forward and find a lady. We had a bunch of them here, need a bunch of help. So come and help us right now. The rest of us, just keep worshiping the Lord as God shows his affection to these moms. Thank you, Lord. Prayed for you and you've received a gift. Would you go back to your seat so I can see who still needs, hasn't received anything yet. We want to make sure every woman here is blessed before we leave today. Come on, church, worship the Lord with me. Still need some of you to hear from God and come up and bless a lady. Do it today. God will honor you. So up here, come and bless them. Sweet. Would you stand up, congregation? I have a beautiful mother right here, Vicki. Someone come and love on her. I have two right here. That's the last three.
Come like a rushing wind.
Prayer team, would you please come down front?
Come like a rushing wind. Come like a rushing wind in me. Come like a rushing wind. Come like a rushing wind. Come like a rushing wind.
Hey, thank you for joining us today. If you came with your mother or came with your family, thank you for being our guest today. Thank you for blessing. Thank all of you that came to bless these beautiful women. May God bless your family for blessing their family today. Amen. Anybody come to you? I have one woman right here. Yeah, hold her there. I need someone to bless Miss Vicki right here. Here they come. Vicki right here. Oh, look, they're lining up for you, Vicki. A bunch of them. Listen, today I felt all service long God was healing people. If you need prayer for healing in your life and are believing God's wanting to touch you, we would be honored to pray for you today. Don't slip away without getting prayer. If you've never found and experienced the free gift of forgiveness of sins, the grace of God, the love of Christ, we want you today to know God loves you. He died for you. Jesus Christ died to take away your sins, to bring you back to the Father, restore your relationship, and give you heaven on earth. If you've never known Christ as your Savior, we'd love to pray for you. If you're going through a very difficult season, say, Pastor, I just need help today. Going through some real trials. We'd be honored to pray for you today. Anyone wanting prayer for any reason, come on down forward. We're going to dismiss right after this. May you have a blessed Mother's Day. God bless all you mothers tonight. Don't forget the miracle service here. If you can make it back, God bless you. Have an awesome week. Find three or four people before you leave. Tell them Jesus loves you, man. God bless you.
Of God, for fresh on.